Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Tor Cardona, Georgina Blasky, and Winnie Malcolm. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Hello.
Georgina, you're back in the office for the first time in the flesh in 5 months.
I mean, it's just the weirdest feeling. It's great. It's really exciting.
Last week, I was feeling a bit unsettled, I guess, going, you know, with the change in routine. But then this morning, I watched my husband kind of move from bed to shower to kitchen table, and I thought, this is better.
Yeah.
I'm much happier.
We're lucky to have that change of scene, definitely.
Yeah. Guys, I've had the most disastrous morning. Like, you know when everything goes wrong?
Yeah.
I got in the shower. This is a real first world problem, but I got in the shower and my cleaner had thrown away my conditioner.
What?
And I've got quite a big event tonight.
Why did you throw away your
She threw away both mine and Ben's. There was not a single drop of conditioner in the whole shower or in the whole house. I just think you should tell someone if you're going to throw away.
Did you not have a backup?
No.
Do you have any
Isn't she threw away both? There were two in there and they've both gone. Anyway, and then the dog was throwing up as I was watching the dog through the shower door vomit on the floor.
Maybe
it's a disaster.
Maybe the dog ate the conditioner.
Bottle included, maybe. Oh. So, you know, when you arrive at work feeling a little frazzled.
It does look lovely. But I love that in your bathroom you couldn't find, if you come into my bathroom, you could find a million conditioners, a million masks. What can I grab now?
Oh shit, do you know what? I do have a mask. Oh bugger.
Just even for a couple of minutes.
Yes,
better than
I've
nothing.
Got a Josh Wood one.
Next time.
Oh, and it's so nice and silky.
Next time.
I'm not a big bathroom hoarder. I keep things quite streamlined. Mm. I'm looking at you.
Definitely. Winnie's, what are you? There's no way you're not a hoarder.
I mean, no. I'm thinking of one side of my bathroom, which is like a hoarder's dream, and then like actual shower, I keep quite sparse.
Yeah, because there's actually nothing worse than loads of stuff all over the
shop. I don't like that. Kicking them over in the morning, the sound.
Yes.
Too much.
On a different topic, we were just testing our microphones, and we normally do that by asking everybody what they have for breakfast. And Winnie said she had a glass of milk for breakfast, which sparked a very lively conversation about whether we can stomach a glass of milk. You had full, what did you go for? Full
fat, semi-skimmed. It was just like, we have a lot of plant-based milks in our fridge,
this
right?
This is such a funny
and then
conversation.
We have the communal milk, the dairy milk, the big dairy one. And I looked at the plant-based, I looked at the milk, and I thought, I feel a bit low energy. I poured myself a glass and just knocked back. And I know that creeps you out, and it creeps me out too, but I need, Tor, you said it's got protein. It's
so
got a
much
lot of protein.
Protein.
It's like,
so
yogurt
much protein.
Has so much protein as well.
It's the same
crazy.
Thing. It's the same thing.
I guess I just think it would make me gag. Georgina, would you drink a glass of milk?
I mean, if my life depended on it, I might. I don't know, I think it all, kind of milk gets a bad rap these days, doesn't it? Proper old-fashioned milk. But I have started putting a bit of milk or yogurt into my normal green smoothie in the morning just to thicken it up and kind of last me a bit longer. And actually, if it's kind of in with something else,
I agree.
Then
I totally agree.
That. But
I
on
just
its
can't
own,
do it myself.
Ooh, I don't know.
If it's, I think temperature for me, if
yes.
it has to be, it was ice cold.
Okay, I get that.
It was okay, but if it was like remotely room temperature at all, I would gag.
Okay, I get that. What else do you put in your green smoothie?
So I have one of those Love smoothie mixes that comes pre-packaged in the freezer.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah, they're really good. They're on a cardo, I think, and I think this one's kale, spinach, mango, and then I add a banana, a spoonful of full fat dairy normal yogurt.
Delicious.
Yeah,
and
really
I guess because it's all frozen, it must be so creamy.
It's really creamy.
Love that.
And it's really cold and it's good.
How was everyone's weekends?
Mine was quite good from about Saturday onwards. I was a bit poorly.
Oh.
A bit of a wobble.
Okay.
A bit ill.
Feeling all right?
Feeling way better now.
Not COVID?
Not COVID, guys, don't worry. But yeah, I had a lot of Nobu last night. So
Did you know?
On top. Yeah, that really, I've got a smile on my face.
Okay.
I'm so jealous.
Did you go there or did you get a takeaway?
We got a takeaway, but it was the black cod that made,
delicious.
So nice. Yeah, Loved it. And some ice cream, but I think that will...
So Winnie, you've gone from like Nobu to a glass of milk.
That's it, I know, right? There's no in between for me. It's like...
yum. Jill, what a great end of bank holiday.
So lovely.
And just watching TV, eating Nobu.
Dream, yeah.
Like, absolute dream. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, that was the fun thing I think about lockdown, when every time you had a posh meal, you could just do it in your pajamas.
Exactly.
Yeah, bit of a novelty. Yeah. Georgina, how was your weekend?
It was good. I went to Westfield for the first time this year.
I went to Westfield yesterday. Can I say it was heaving?
Heaving. Oh my God. And just the amount of people. And it was just all quite stressful. Mm-hmm. It's one of my kids' birthdays coming up. So we had to do a proper go out there, just let's go shopping and get everything. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the queues for the shops, the queues for blooming everything. I'm so over the queuing. But actually, once you get in, of course, it's lovely because there's hardly anyone in the store. And it seems strange to me. Some of the stores let you try stuff on, some don't. It was weird just seeing that amount of people blew my mind.
Wow. It's crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I hadn't really been out to the shops properly.
And also Westfield is so concentrated, isn't it? Like it's kind of a shop times a million. You're kind of going from 0 to 100, aren't you, there?
I mean, I felt like I was really in at the deep end. But oh my God, it was so good. And it was lovely to see people out and just seeing everything, kind of seeing the clothes, touching the clothes, feeling the fabrics, understanding kind of, you know, what was out there and what went with what, and actually just looking at stuff was so nice.
What did you buy?
For me, nothing. For her, most of Urban Outfitters.
I keep going past Urban Outfitters thinking, God, I used to love it.
Got that grungy hippie if you're a teen. I mean, you're in heaven.
Can't go wrong.
It's like very like logo tees and like that kind of thing.
Yeah, like crop t-shirts and flippy dresses and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I loved
oh my god
a dream.
You loved it.
Did you also wear expensive?
It was expensive.
Did you wear the disco pants?
Yeah, I did.
That was what we wore at uni. What, my whole leggings? House. Yeah, well, there were the trouser versions, and then there were the They were like a shiny fabric, and we wore the hot pant versions, which came up to like
Chin.
And
then you had
And can I tell you what we used to do? So they would cut like here. They were like knickers.
Yeah.
And we would go to Hooters in Nottingham and buy the dancers' tights because they were like you didn't have to fake tan your legs because the tights were so thick and so brown. They would last. They would never ladder because they were so thick.
That is hilarious. I used to love those like the zippies they did in like every color. They were like Fruit of the Loom, and they were 60 quid.
Yeah, exactly. They were Fruit of the Loom t-shirts for 45 pounds. I went to various shopping trips by accident this weekend. I went to Harvey Nicks and Harrods with my mum. I then had some time to kill, so I ended up at Selfridges, and then I only went to Westfield yesterday because I was parking there to go to White City. I mean, it was heaving, but it was just so interesting. Like Harvey Nichols and Harrods, it was eerily quiet. Like we were walking around being like, God, this is so weird. It's still like, weird. Feels like the pandemic. Then popped across to Selfridges and oh my, again, teeming. Yeah. So it's just interesting what is drawing in the crowds.
How
Maybe
funny.
It's an age level thing. I don't know.
Do you think people are like, you know, it's very high end and people are looking for more of like a quick fashion fix?
I don't know. I was on King's Road last week, midweek. And well, perhaps that was part of it. It was midweek. But it wasn't busy at all. You didn't queue anywhere. You just walked in. Wherever we were, it just never felt that busy.
I popped down to Sloane Square like a couple of weekends ago on a Friday afternoon. And same, it was quite quiet. But it was also really interesting seeing what's shut down. And like, I was like, oh, that's not there anymore. Oh, that's there now. And
yeah. Maybe it's the more grown up area. Like that's kind of the sense I got in Harvey Nichols and Harrods as well. That generally they attract a more grown up, an older crowd, and maybe they're slightly more reticent to be out and about, whereas Selfridges was incredibly young. Actually, Westfield's sort of the same as well. So maybe it's a case of kind of the regular demographic and how willing they are to.
Also, I feel like Harrods is quite touristy in a way.
I guess
those tourists just aren't around.
Exactly. I mean, treat to walk around those places. Everywhere's just got different rules. And so I was in Harvey Nichols trying on loads of sunglasses, then went to Selfridges, and we kind of had to queue. Ben wanted to have a look, and so we kind of queued a little bit and got to the front of the queue, and they were like, oh, are you on the wait list? Wow. And there were 11 people on the wait list for the sunglasses section.
Oh my God.
Come on. Yeah. How annoying is that? Like, I get it, and I get trying to be cautious, but you know. A waitlist for some sunglasses seemed excessive.
Actually, one of the biggest queues I saw in Westfield was Sunglasses Hut.
Oh, really?
And I really noted it because I thought, of course, that is one of the hardest things to buy online.
So true. H&M Home also had a really big queue when I walked past yesterday.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Their stores are just so beautiful. Though.
Oh my God.
They make you want to buy everything.
That one on Regent Street is heaven. God.
I cannot walk past without going in.
No, it's insane.
So what did you get up to this weekend?
I mean, not as exciting. I wasn't in Harrods and Selfridges. I was more in my local garden centre. But
down at the house.
Yeah, down at the house, which is so nice and really good to finally get the ball rolling. Got the decorators in now. So there's lots of, it was very dusty. Mm. Did a lot of time cleaning, doing, spent loads of time in the garden, getting that all looking really good.
So are you really getting into gardening then, Tor?
I mean, I say I'm really getting into it. I'm trying to get into it. Ask me again in 6 months' time, might be different. But it's quite finally moving into like a garden that's already quite established. And because it's not, hasn't all sprung to life yet, it's quite interesting like, and quite exciting waiting to see what's going to come out. But it's got some, already some quite nice things in there. So just,
that's the ideal situation rather than starting from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, we have, one of the beds was like dead. So we've, okay. And it's quite a big one. So I've replanted all that with some really nice things.
Oh, so that's nice.
Fun. But yeah, lots of nice walks. Good. Ventured to a local pub with my parents, had a really nice lunch, which was really nice. But yeah, kind of uneventful really, but
lovely. What's everybody been watching? Has anyone got any new recommendations, Winnie?
Well, let me start with a short one because I feel like you'd love it. I watched Billie Eilish's 22 Questions on Vogue. Now, you haven't seen it. I thought you hadn't watched it. It's so, so good. So basically, I'm sure everyone's seen on Instagram everywhere that Billie Eilish has done this amazing shoot with Vogue. She's dressed in like Asian provocateur, like latex. Like she just looks like, I can't really explain it.
Like bunny, vixen, sexy, but like really moody and cool.
So like pared down at the same time, like, because it's so different to the grungy look. But yeah, so on Vogue, I think they released 22 questions and it's so cool. She sat in this kind of dark room and they've made it very cinematic and she sat there and the camera pans in and there's a little old school television and there's like Justin Bieber, all of these celebrities, about 22 celebrities from so many different genres, like from Halle Berry, I won't say them all, Justin Bieber, Missy Elliott, asking her questions. And she doesn't know who's going to come on the screen. And she's just like, oh my God. And she's like answering these questions from like the most basic questions to like how what inspires you, how do you write music, to technical questions. So I generalize her, I look at her and I think I know what she's like, but that was, it was really, really fun to watch. Yeah. I watched it a couple of times. I was doing my makeup this morning, actually.
I saw the like the beginning of it and it's those incredible curtains come back. Like, yeah, it's incredibly stylized,
so
isn't
cool.
It?
Yeah. But they really changed the style on this one.
Well, that's, I guess that's the difference, because the 73 questions is American Vogue, isn't it? Which, yeah, is so cringe.
And it's
to watch,
cheesy. Yeah, so oh my God, cheesy. So cheesy. But this one was so classy. Cool. Like,
what do you, I saw some criticism of the cover because obviously her thing has, well, A, she's 19 and she is quite sexualized in these outfits. Thing has always been, I'm going to hide my body. I'm going to, you know, cover it up because it's not about what I look like. It's about, you know, my music or whatever. So obviously this is a kind of a massive departure from that. And I don't know how I feel about it because I think it's an unbelievable cover, but then is it quite disappointing as a role model to teenagers? I don't know.
Well, actually, exactly on that point, my 15-year-old said, I can't believe Billie Eilish has done this cover. It's just a nod to the patriarchy. I think it's really awful that someone has to keep, that female artists have to keep reinventing themselves to stay relevant when male artists don't.
Wow.
And I was like, wow.
Where did that come from?
Why?
We tried to turn it on its head and said, but maybe she was in control of that decision. Yeah. And like, we like to dye our hair different colors. Isn't it amazing that we get this opportunity to reinvent ourselves? And actually we need to hear what she thinks about the shoot, because it is really easy to kind of take that view. And I don't know what the answer is, because I don't know whether she was totally into this idea and loved it. I mean, it really reminded me actually of the Madonna Chronicles.
Very Madonna.
Which I thought was a really, I remember being in my kind of late teens or whenever that came out, and I just thought how powerful she looked, and she owned that look so much. So
For all you know, she's thinking the same. That's her mindset. And like, I want to come across as this amazing, like, powerful woman, like Madonna, and not like, oh, I've been told I have to wear this, or you know.
Yeah, and that I am a multifaceted music artist. I'm growing, I'm changing all the time, and I'm going to surprise you now, and here's something new.
Mm.
And it'd just be really interesting to know how control.
Having seen her documentary, have you watched that, Winnie?
I haven't,
not yet. Amazing.
Right, like, I've talked about it.
You do. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but having seen that, I mean, she is in creative control of every, I mean, she directs her own music videos, like, you know, after the first one, won't even have a director with her. So I'd be very surprised if she just said, yeah, go dress me.
Yeah, Edward as well, as like the editor, he seems like he's been working in fashion as a model and stuff from such a young age. I can imagine he just wants everyone to express themselves, because I suppose since he's become editor, you just feel really free.
And he's very like modern and progressive. Yeah. I'd be surprised if it was a let's dress her up in some sexy gear to sell to
people. Yeah, exactly. It's not FHM, is it?
And she's not Britney being, you know, having her strings pulled by somebody else. She's very much, like you say, seems to be in control. Seems so
I thought it was amazing as well. But I
get the question marks.
Me too. I appreciate that, like, your daughter, Georgina. I get it.
Anything else to recommend?
I watched Seaspiracy from Lou, recommended me to watch it.
What did you think?
It was so, I'm so glad I watched it.
I mean, you did manage to eat Nobu afterwards and Black Cod, so I can't, you obviously weren't too affected by it.
Yeah, right. No, but I'm really glad I watched it. Just a
small sushi platter.
Despite Nobu yesterday.
But less sushi, just a bit less.
Just a little bit less, but no, I'm so glad I watched it because I just feel like the facts that you learn on this show, like, we should know this stuff. And, you know, I made the decision, like, I watched the show, and I think it's nice that it doesn't kind of shove propaganda down your throat and say, like, do not do this. Mm-hmm. It basically tells you, without revealing too much, that the best thing to do is to not eat fish. Okay. But it allows you to make that decision for yourself, and it gives you so much information about how you can, just awareness of what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the things are so shocking. And especially in terms of the environment, that's what I like the most, is it wasn't, you know, it was talking about the impacts on the environment and how we're kind of told how much the Amazon has such an impact on the survival of us and bees and things like that. But then, you know, the graphs and things like that in comparison, the Amazon based on the ocean, mm-hmm. it just completely shifts your the way you think about things. You think, oh, okay, I'm going to be recycling, doing this and this and this. But the ocean is everything.
They were saying that on the news this morning, actually, that it's all very well focusing on deforestation, but actually the impacts of sea contamination are even worse.
Everything, So
what would you say are, like, the biggest takeaways you learn? Like, what are you going to change habit-wise, apart from Nobu?
But I guess also maybe the thing is that you buy less supermarket fish, and if you're going to have fish, you do it at a high end.
Exactly. Or, like, is there an argument to, like, buy something over something, or, like, look for certain
types of fish? So definitely going to... From this show, I obviously know there's different meat alternatives. I didn't know about the fish alternatives that are similar.
But they're very up and coming. I think it's more in America. Yeah.
You know, like, different, you know, maybe to mimic prawns and things like that. I think I saw an ad on TV a while back. Maybe it was Sainsbury's. They were kind of trialing these things. But hopefully it takes on the same way that meat has done.
Yeah.
And when that actually is more readily available, I will not. Kind of, I won't waver, and I will definitely try and be switching them out.
I mean, I think it's from what I've read, like, fish is much harder to mimic in terms of texture and flavor as opposed to meat.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way that the meat-free industry has innovated, like, if they can do the same for fish, amazing.
And that's what they talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. All these plant-based things.
And that's what they're talking about on the show. They're using certain algae from the sea to help, like, with the flavor. And so I think they're
and I guess if you use the algae, you still get the health benefits.
Another thing I probably would take away from it is salmon. Salmon is just, like, all about that.
I don't want to know this.
It's bad for you, or it's bad for, it's bad
just
for the environment?
The realities of, you know, in my mind, I was thinking farm salmon is better, and, like, you see the conditions. It's basically like any other animal. It just helps you conceptualize and think about fish as a real animal. They have feelings as well. And to farm a fish is the same to coop up a pig or a chicken. Yeah. And that's where it kind of shifted in my mind. I always think, oh, farm salmon, it's contained. It says, but if you're containing a fish and they're, you know, swimming around, things happen. Yeah, that kind of opened my mind a lot. And
so should we only have wild salmon then?
I mean, this is the thing. The big question in the show was, what is sustainability? And they were asking all of the different people, whether they're fishermen, whether they're people who create these standards that the fishermen have to adhere by. And it was this big question mark. And you don't realise, we throw around these words all the time, like, oh, it's sustainable. What sustainable just means you're just going to keep doing it until you can't do it anymore. And that made me so quite emotional. I would definitely recommend watching it.
I need to watch it.
I did avoid it. I heard a lot about it. I'd seen it on Twitter a bit. But I don't think it's going to scare you. It's just really going to open your eyes. And it didn't leave you with that sad, the world's over feeling.
Okay. It just bothers me that they called it Seaspiracy and not Conspiracy.
Right.
Georgina, you had a film to recommend.
Yeah, I watched this weekend, The Mauritanian, with Jodie Foster and Shailene Woodley and Benedict Cumberbatch. And it's all about a prisoner taken to Guantanamo Bay post 9/11. on what seems to be evidence of a phone call made from Bin Laden to his number for his cousin. And as far as I'm aware from having watched the film, that the whole thing hinges on this tracking of this phone call.
We should say this is a true story.
This is a true story. It's quite hard for me to discuss it actually without giving away too many spoilers. But I would say it gives you a huge insight into what goes on at Guantanamo Bay and how long people are held there without charges. Mm-hmm. It was just the most shocking thing to watch. And I also think I was really ignorant about, I sort of thought, oh, it was set up by Bush post 9/11, but then Obama came along and he must have changed some things or closed some things down, or, you know, some people must have been let free if they hadn't been charged and all this. And actually, that's not quite what happened. Mm-hmm. And I was really shocked, actually. But there's so many things that happened in the last half hour. So it's one of those things where you just, it's quite hard to talk about, but I would recommend it.
So I listened to an interview with Jodie Foster on it, and yeah, she was very open about the full story, because I guess it's like in the public domain already because it's a full story. So I don't think it's a spoiler to say.
Well,
to say that he, you know, he spent a long, long time there and was freed, and then Obama put him back. Is that right?
Or he finally went to court after seven. Okay, spoiler alert. Yeah. So after 7 years, he finally gets his day in court, and Jodie Foster's defending him. Benedict Cumberbatch is a Marine lawyer who's prosecuting. And the process actually they go through initially, you know, she asked to see all the files. She gets like 50 box files that she's in this room, and she starts opening them and everything's redacted. It's just black line over everything. And your heart just sinks. You can't believe it. So then eventually she does get the right files with the right information, and as she's reading the information, they then show you it happening, and the forms of torture are just so disgraceful. You can't actually believe another human being could do that, and it really messes with your head. And you're watching it, it's quite a long segment, I'd say it's a good 20 minutes. Ooh. Where they're just showing again and again what's going on. That's and horrible. It is so shocking. So it throws up a lot of moral questions, and obviously it's really interesting for a defense lawyer, because they're defending someone who obviously was maybe potentially part of one of the biggest terrorist attacks in American history. And of course, we all saw those images at the time, and that's very, so that's referred to. So that's fresh in your mind. But because so much of it is from his point of view, from the prisoner's point of view, you can't help but have empathy with him as well. Anyway, he gets his day in court and he is found not guilty. So he's not convicted. Having said that, then Obama's in power, and they overturn it, and he ends up being there for 14 years.
Yeah. It's insane.
Wow. And then eventually he is freed, pardoned, however you call it, and he goes home. And then at the end they show pictures of the real guy at home, and he's like talking and laughing. Yeah. And it's really hard to believe that he had gone through everything they show. And then you see this very kind of peaceful soul who's sort of somehow come to terms with it, really.
Jodie Foster said that in that interview, that the real guy was involved in the process of making the movie and that he is, like remarkably at peace. What happened and, somehow kept his sanity. The reason I haven't watched it is because I find it very difficult especially if you know something's going to be incredibly harrowing. I just hate watching reenactments of people in pain. I don't think I can sit and watch it.
It is incredibly hard to watch. It is so, so hard to watch. And then the statistics at the end, they said something like 779, I might have got my numbers wrong, but it's ballpark, prisoners were held at Guantanamo Bay. There are still 14 people there, something like that. But of all the prisoners held, less than 10 were ever convicted or found guilty.
I think it's one of those things that there are other preoccupations right now and have been for the last 20 or so years. But when a light is finally shone on it, it will be like the greatest human rights breach ever.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's unreal.
And it will go down in American history as just
shameful,
being a very, very dark time in their democratic way.
Absolutely. The fact that it still exists is insane. All right, where can you watch it?
Watched it on
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Netflix. We thought we'd crowdsource a few questions again this week. So I'm just going to hit you with some of the questions. Horrible neighbours and how to deal with it.
You know what? I've just met all my new neighbours and they're very friendly. And one of them's a fireman, which is just so handy.
Ooh, sexy.
He's
right.
Not sexy. Oh, he's definitely not sexy. Okay.
Reassuring, though.
Reassuring. Not sexy.
Have you got, how close are you in proximity to your neighbours?
We're semi-detached, so the other ones are like literally next door. And yeah, pretty close.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Nice. So no bad experiences.
Not yet.
But what about you both? Any terrible neighbour stories?
I wouldn't say terrible neighbour story, but I have a tip.
Go on.
So I think it was when you could have six people in the garden or whatever, and there was maybe next door but one, everyone was outside, there was about six people and they were roaring. It was about 3:30 going on to 4.
Oof, in the morning?
The morning. Really, really loud. So loud. And I just think the best way to deal with noisy neighbours is just to be really nice.
Yeah,
because you're still neighbours. Like, it's so easy to get like carried away. And I think, you know, my housemate was sleeping in bed and I was just knocked on his door and I was like, can you sleep? And I just went to his window, lifted the window up and I was like, excuse me, like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So
what,
I bet everyone was in bed like, yes.
My God,
right? And I was like, excuse me. And they just stopped and I was like, No, I think you're having a good time, but I'm really, really tired. Do you mind if you just keep down just a little bit? And they were like, oh, yeah. And they all went in the conservatory and it was cool. Whereas if I went out and was like, shut up, that's when we have
so
issues.
I was going to say you should call 111.
Yeah. You know? My brother regularly does that. 111, whatever. Yeah. Noise police.
Yeah. So you really kind of just treat people how you want to be treated when, you know, it's easy to have fun and get carried away.
And also, as you say, it can so easily escalate and you are stuck living with those people. Basically.
And then
so
when you're having a fun time, they're going
to come back to bite you.
On you.
Your revenge method. Not so handy. Georgina?
No, we've got lovely neighbours all around, I have to say. But my friend has just moved into a new house that they're renting. And she said that... she was outside having her book club outside and it was about 12:30, so not that late. Mm-hmm. They were all really quite chatty because I think it was the first week that you were allowed to go to someone's house and be in the garden. And someone leant out the window and kind of went, will you shut the F up? And she was like, oh God, sorry. Yeah. She'd been in the house for like a week. And then the next, and they went straight, everyone went home and that was it, done. And then she got an anonymous letter the next day written to her on behalf of all the neighbours, clearly wasn't. Yeah. And she said, you know what? We went straight inside. But the thing that's so upsetting is it's anonymous. If I knew, I would be round there apologising with a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
You know, I would make good on disturbing the peace.
That's although really
it
big,
was
like,
only
really
12:30. It wasn't 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Also, a book club that finishes at that time was my kind of book club.
Yeah. You keep saying only 12:30. I think that's terribly late.
Yeah. Terribly late. Actually, I believe it was a Tuesday. Anyway. But I just thought, you know, that's really interesting hearing the other side of it. Because actually, I have had people having noisy parties around. And I've definitely been the noisy person too. But I think... every time it's always been, you know, just asking them once or someone's asked me once and then we've been quiet and you don't realize. And I think there's a lot of pent up frustration 100%. At the moment, and there's maybe a few blind eyes to be turned on noise because you know, everyone's desperate to see their friends
to
be outside.
Totally. I agree.
Okay, good tips everyone, thanks. Quick fire final question from the audience. Favorite mocktails, what do you drink when you don't want booze but you do want something? Tor?
had one last night, seed lip and slimline tonic.
Nice.
The green seed lip, not the spiced one.
Okay. Delicious.
Delicious.
Georgina?
I tried the other day Belvoir or Beaver. I'm not sure how you're meant to say it. They do cordials, but they do a, they call it an alcohol-free passion fruit martini.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, nice. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Mbongo.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember way down deep in the middle of the Congo?
Yeah, Mbongo, they drink it in the jungle or something.
Anyway, fruity. Lovely. Okay, I take that. Winnie?
I can't say I think I've ever had a mocktail, because I usually have just the real deal.
Have the booze, yep.
However, I really want to try Spencer Matthews brand.
Yes, clean liquor.
It just looks like the flavours. I know he's spent a lot of time in St. Bart's and things, so there's lots of tropical flavors and rums and things, and I think I definitely, my sister's tried it, she recommended, but okay, yeah, I definitely want to try that.
Well, his wife is coming on the show in a few weeks, maybe we can persuade her.
Oh my gosh,
yes.
Bring me some tan and use some booze.
Charlotte, what's your favorite mocktail?
I like a Virgin Mary, that's what I would go for.
Oh, nice.
Just have like a Heinz tomato soup.
That's not
I really
sorry
really,
out for
I really hate Bloody Marys and tomato juice.
But imagine being out for brunch and being like, I'll have a cup.
That's basically what you're
a
having.
A cup of Heinz tomato
that's
soup.
That's basically what you're
do
having.
Do me a favour. No, it's not.
It's so savoury.
That's what lovely. I like about it. It's like a meal in a cup.
Do you ever have one on a plane?
Sometimes.
Sure. Tomato juice?
No, but I would have it with vodka on a plane.
Oh, you would have
it? Yeah, I would. Yeah.
It's just so weird. So my mum always orders some tomato juice on a plane. Mm. Always. As she never has it at any other time in her life.
Yeah.
But the number of times I'm like, well, first of all, if there's turbulence, that's just a no-go for me. Right. But,
I always have a Kit Kat on a plane, and I like never have a
chunky
Kit Kat.
Oh, right.
Yeah, always. A four-fingered one.
Always. Chunky on the plane.
Interesting. Mm. The other thing.
This is a whole other conversation.
Sorry, but also there's a very big difference between tomato juice and a Virgin Mary, which is with like horseradish and pepper and salt and
stick of
whatever
celery.
Else. Yeah, Worcester sauce and lemon. True. Yeah, I mean, it's a pimped tomato juice, and it's certainly not like a Heinz tomato.
It's like drinking like pasta sauce.
Right.
It is.
Oh, it's my favourite. We'll agree to disagree on that one. Thanks for all your questions. Do keep them coming, and do email podcast@sharelux.com if there's anything else you'd like us to discuss. Let's finish with a little bit of Sharelux chat and stuff that we wrote about. We wrote a feature on the best supermarket ice creams to try. And so I wanted to know your recommendations. I don't remember ever talking about ice cream on the podcast before. So what are your go-tos? What do you always have in the freezer? And also, most importantly, do you eat ice cream all year round? Because I have no interest in ice cream unless it's like April to September.
Georgina, you kind of strike me as an ice cream person.
100%, such an ice cream person. I always think of you as an ice cream person.
I was so delighted when I saw this on the chat, because I got sent a little hamper from, I think it must have been Wool's ice cream, and it is this whole new stuff. All these
Wool's,
new
like, oh, in Wool's.
Wool's, yes. Okay. They make the cornetto.
Yeah.
So
they do the swirl.
Oh my God, they've got, you know, the best bit of the cornetto is the bit at the end with the chocolate in.
Yeah.
You can buy just the ends with the chocolate
in.
Which are also dairy free. So there.
Sorry, so what is it? It's a mini cone that's filled with chocolate.
It's the cone just with the chocolate. No ice cream.
What, like a bag of mini?
They're in a box and they're...
But isn't they for you to fill your own ice cream?
No,
it's just
mini.
It's just the end.
It's like you're 3/4 of the way down your cornetto and you know you're getting to the best bit.
Unreal.
It's the best bit every time. Full of chocolate. So they're doing that. Then they also sent me Magnum Bites. So it's like a Magnum, but it's a it's a ball.
Like a mini choco ice. Oh, like a round.
So it's not a round one.
It's not on a stick. Okay. So when you get it out, you could put them out almost like a box of chocolates or something,
love
you know,
that.
At the end of the night. And they've got all the coatings you would get. So dark, milk, white, and
nice.
Almond. Almond was very nice. They had those. And then these other little bite things, which were just like a little choc ice square.
Yeah.
They sound unreal.
Because also sometimes if you are having ice cream at home, you don't actually want a whole thing of ice cream or a whole cornetto. This is just a little morsel.
A tip that I've actually picked up from Georgie is that she often, I think, when she has people over for dinner, will just serve mini magnums for dessert.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a good tip. So with those mini ones, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Ben and Jerry's cone together.
What's in that?
It's ice cream with bits of
cream,
cone, but cone in it. So, you know, they always have their swirls of caramel or
so
whatever.
Some crunch.
So this has got like your wafer biscuity thing kind of just mushed up into the ice cream.
Okay, thanks. Tori, you're an ice cream person?
You know know what, and it's not a health thing. Mm. It's not really my jam. Like if I was having, if someone was serving a pudding, I would way rather have like custard or cream.
Interesting.
I just don't really love it, but I do love a sorbet.
Okay.
Like especially if I'm out at a restaurant, mm-hmm. I love like the palate cleansing effects of a sorbet in that feature that Heather wrote, we featured banana scoops. Mm. I mean, you can get them on Ocado.
Oh yes, oh, I really like them.
Yeah. And that's quite like a sorbet-y texture. Mm. I love that one. I love a sorbet.
In terms of slightly healthier ones as well, I love the Halo Top birthday cake.
You?
Yeah, I just love it.
There's something about, I find it too icy. If I'm going to have
ice. Yeah, it is a bit icy because it's not creamy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not massive.
It reminds me of like, you know, those milk. What are they? You know, milk.
Oh, mini milks.
Mini milks. Oh, mini milks. Yes. Love them. Yeah, I bet you love them. Yeah. The milk.
get your calcium in.
Who doesn't like milk?
Protein and calcium. Winnie, favourite ice creams?
Apart from the mochi balls.
Love.
From a Nobu. Mochi ball. I had.
Apart from Nobu.
Because I just love that.
Not the one you get in the supermarket.
Yeah, not those ones. No. They. I had strawberry and cream ones and mango ones, but there are. I think they're called Little Moons.
Little Moons. They're my favourite.
So I'm going to be buying those because obviously I can't afford to have those in 3 weeks. So I'll probably be buying those. But I went to Waitrose and I promise you, my housemates will laugh. For about 2 months, I go to Waitrose and I have my eye on this Belgian white chocolate ice cream. And every time, and it's just their own brand, it's nothing like crazy. And I just restricted myself because I love white chocolate so much. I finally bought it. And it's already gone. It's the most delicious, creamy ice cream. It's just like, tastes like Haagen-Dazs, but better. Mm. It's like white chocolate and it's got white chocolate flakes all throughout it. So every teaspoon you have or spoonful of it, it has little shards of white chocolate and it's not sickly.
That sounds
And it was so good. It was so good.
That sounds insane.
It was fab.
And you can eat together.
What about you, Charlotte? I feel like you're a Ben & Jerry's fan.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a bit of a high-low kind of mix, so I would happily eat like a Cornetto or a 99p flake, although my favorite
bit is they're the not flake. 99p
they're like £4 these days. I also did once hear that is that the place you're most likely to get salmonella is from a 99p flake.
Really?
Machine. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's like note anyway. But sorry, great. Everyone's like, great,
welcome
thanks.
To summer.
Yeah, woo. And yeah, so I would do that. But then also there is chain's probably not quite fair, but a couple of gelato shops in and around London called Adonos.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's one, I know you guys have got one down here, and there's one on North Coast Road, isn't there? Yeah. There's one in Chiswick and there's also one in Hampstead, and oh my god, they are the best gelato. I'm a pistachio gelato girl all the way. That's
you
my
know what
favorite.
I do like pistachio ice cream.
Oh,
have you tried Amarino?
Yeah, well,
is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Amarino. And when they do it, it looks like a rose. The way
they do that, do they? Yeah.
Yeah, they put it like it's like they build the flower kind of like petals. And it's so pretty.
Yeah, there's loads of them. When I lived in Paris, there was one like on my corner, and I think it was before they had rolled them out quite a lot here. But there's loads of those around now, aren't there? Let's finish with a bit of fashion chat. Let's talk about sunglasses. We touched on it at the top of the podcast, but we wrote a feature on 16 white sunglasses to wear this season. I love a pair of white sunnies. Has anyone got their eye on a new pair this year? I really am in need of some new sunglasses. Georgina, you're nodding.
Oh yes, I did try some really nice Tom Ford sunglasses the other day, which I'm thinking I've got a birthday coming up, maybe this is the time. I think if I'm going high end, I do like Tom Ford generally. I just think they seem to last really, really well. I've dropped my current pair about 5 times a day and they're still going strong, so I like those. And then for kind of a lower price point, I do like Le Specs. Yeah, they do a good tortoise shell.
They do.
Nice one.
I feel like the specs are something for everybody. Like,
yeah,
so many
like
different shapes.
Quid, they're, and they're really interesting shapes as well, actually. And also they do different lenses. So they have kind of normal brown lenses, but they do like a kind of milky one. They do a slight reflective rose gold lens. Yeah. So they're quite cool. They're quite different.
Yeah.
Good price point. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about you guys, but I mean, obviously, like, for a long time, it was either high street sunglasses or designer sunglasses. And now there is this amazing selection of brands in between. So, you know, your Bailey Nelsons and Ace and Tate and Jimmy Fairley and Taylor Morris, all of those brands that have the kind of £100 to £150 price point. So because they exist, I now find it very hard to spend £300 on something. I mean, I'm a breaker, a loser, a scratcher.
I'm a loser.
I'm terrible with
sunglasses.
I
will lose things. Well, yes.
I'm so bad at putting them back in their case. So they just get really scratched. So I don't know, but I think it's great that all of those brands now exist, but I wonder if it's impacted the luxury sunglasses market. I don't know. Winnie, got your eye on any? Got your eye on
I have got my eyes on some Saint Laurent ones. I just feel like you can't go wrong. Speaking to my mum about it this morning, she's just ordered some, I think, Ray-Bans. And we were talking about how it's just, the classics never die.
100%.
And whenever I go like a bit off piece and I'll get like a cat eye pair, like a really expensive pair, and I just don't want to wear them. But for me, as soon as it's hot, the only thing I need is just a really classic pair. I feel like, I think Lou just is always just looks so cool when she has her like Ray-Bans.
Lou only wears the Wayfarers,
right? And it just looks so cool, and it will always look cool. But for me, I need to stop following trends with sunglasses as much, because I just find like I have so many. But for that reason, it's probably I go through high street a bit too much. But as you were saying, the mid-range ones, I've been kind of more aware, obviously, now seeing all of our content we feature, quite a lot of them. And they're so nice.
This is
I could have like a nice collection, as opposed to like treating myself to one pair and like literally guarding them with my life.
True. I feel like also there's a difference between a pair of sunglasses that you need to like actually work hard to protect your eyes, or just a bit of a fashion accessory, and then it's great to buy the more fashiony high street versions of. But if you're gonna be lying in the sun or out and about, then you probably need something a bit more substantial.
I have a really nice Gucci pair that I love, and they're kind of like my special like occasion sunglasses. But I scratch them so easily, so I've got a couple of pairs of the specs. And I do have my eye on another pair that I'm going to get this summer. So, yeah. I also like, is it Easy Peasy?
Easy Peasy. I love Easy Peasy. Yeah.
My brother always says they break really easily, but I think they're good.
I have to say, I've got a pair of Easy Peasies that, I don't know, 3 years. And again, just chucked in every bag.
And they're even more affordable than the specs.
Yeah, they're £35.
Yeah, they're really good. And they do kids ones, which
they're so
cute.
They also do prescription lenses as well. You can
do
frames.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All those kinds of brands, I think, are so good.
Agreed. It's a new market, isn't it? All right, well, if you are after a pair of white sunnies, then have a look at the feature on the site, and no doubt we'll have plenty more sunglasses content to come over the summer. I think that's just about it for today. If you enjoyed that, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you, and do send us your questions as well. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.